Duh.
This is Province columnist Mike Smith. It's my pleasure to fill in for Simi Sarah today. Let's talk about income splitting now. Do you remember back in 2011 in the federal election campaign, and the federal conservatives and Stephen Harper said, look, if we balance the budget, we're going to bring in income splitting, okay, for families who've got dependent kids. I'll tell you, I mean, it must be a lot of husbands and wives just kind of high-fiving on that. Income splitting, yeah, that'd be great, because if you have one spouse who is in a higher tax bracket than the other spouse, then you could transfer some of that spouse's income to their wife or husband. Doesn't always have to be the man in the higher tax bracket. Could be the other way around. But you could lower your taxes, right? And the government said, we're going to do this after we balance the budget. Well, we're getting close to balancing the budget now. But lo and behold, yesterday, Federal Finance Minister Jim Flaherty said maybe it's not such a good idea anymore. He doesn't really kind of like it. And maybe he's not the only one in the conservative caucus who thinks it's not such a great idea. I wonder how many people voted for the conservatives back in that last election in 2011 saying, wow, if you're going to bring in income splitting, I'm there. I'm voting conservative. Well, let's get into this now because it's an interesting issue about whether it be a good or a bad tax policy for Canada. Let me introduce you to someone who thinks it's a great idea. Andrea Mrozek is here, Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
A lot of people, when you talk about income splitting, you know, some people might think it's maybe just a tax break for the rich, right? If you got some rich guy, a rich executive making a lot of money, he could transfer income to his wife and lower their tax burden when they really don't need a tax break. What do you say?
Well, that's certainly not the income splitting that I'm in favor of.
Yeah.
The Institute of Marriage and Family Canada has been advocating for income splitting long before the Conservatives made it into an election promise. We think that it's good policy, and we think that done right, it can benefit the vast majority of middle-class families struggling to raise their kids. It's a policy that's in place in places like France, where, for example, they allow a single mom to split income with her child. So there's obviously different twists that can be done on the concept. But the concept is very clearly advantageous. And it's funny, if you go talk to Canadians on the street, many of them will think we already have income splitting, because it's possible if you're privately employed that you might employ a wife or a husband or a child and split your income within the family. That's already possible. And we have pension income splitting that's already possible. So sometimes Canadians are misled in believing we already have this. The idea is simple. If you work and budget and do things as a family, you should be taxed as a family, and that makes sense because you're pooling your income as a family regardless of whether or not the government does the sensible thing and allows you to be taxed as a family. So that's
right.
Kind of what we're in favor of in a nutshell.
Okay, but really only benefit a family who have a disparity in income between the two spouses, though, right? I mean, if you have two spouses who are essentially making roughly the same amount of money, they're in the same tax bracket, well, obviously, there's no benefit to income splitting there. So it really only benefits, what, if you've got a husband and wife or, you know, any two spouses who are in different tax brackets.
I think you're right there. The reality of raising young children is that at that time of life, many parents will say they don't want to be working full-time because the burdens of the care of children are so great. And that's the reality of what people say they want to do. In that case, then, you're very likely, as a family of young children, to have one person moving to a part-time arrangement or making things work in a manner that would mean less money coming in the door because you're spending more time taking care of small children in particular. So you may be right there that if people are continuing to remain in exactly the same tax bracket, but it seems to me, again, that there's a likelihood that you would have some loss of income for the very worthwhile task of raising kids. And whether it's the husband or the wife, I think that part of why this makes sense is because we want to recognize that that is hard work if somebody is caring for kids, for example. I think that the people who are against income splitting are in part somehow they may snub their noses at that a little bit and say it's not worthwhile. And this is sort of an implicit recognition of the fact that raising kids is a big deal and is something that has value.
Well, obviously, it'd be very popular for a lot of Canadians who would be in a position to take advantage of it. And I'm certain there, I mean, a lot of people are disappointed to hear that maybe the government's thinking about backing off on it. It'd obviously be an expense for government, right? I mean, what the conservatives were talking about here was, okay, you could transfer up to $50,000 to a spouse in a lower tax bracket as long as you have at least one dependent child under age 18. Now, the government, as I understand it, was that that could be an average tax benefit for the average family of about $1,300 a year. But it could be a lot more than that, couldn't it? I mean, what if you have one spouse who's just making an absolute ton of money, and the other spouse is like maybe a stay-at-home mom or something like that? I mean, you could save a lot more than $1,300 a year in taxes, couldn't you?
Just to return to the idea of it being an expense for government, that does raise the important point that government has no revenue but for us. There's only one taxpayer, whether you pay municipal, provincial, or federal taxes. And as a result, my concern is with the taxpayer and people being able to keep more of their hard-earned money, in particular at a time when financial burdens rise when you have kids. So my concern doesn't lie particularly with the loss of revenue for the government, and I don't think that's a reason not to do it. I think that there is, you know, as many economists as you have in a room, you're probably going to have that many opinions. I happen to not be an economist, but from our perspective, it makes sense to allow people to keep more of their own money. They can then choose what to do with it, and it can be incremental as well. There's nothing in Ottawa that happens that isn't incremental, I'm learning the longer I live here.
Well,
so bringing it in at one level doesn't mean it couldn't be expanded in subsequent years.
Well, you've got some critics, though, who look at this thing and say, oh, man, this is like a tax giveaway to the rich, right? I mean, the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, I was reading their position on it, a sort of left-wing think tank, thinking this would amount to $3 billion in lost federal revenue.
Yeah, well,
to the government.
In favor of a policy that is another tax giveaway to the rich, which is a national daycare program. They claim that that would help low-income families, but in reality, we see research. The only province in Canada that has a provincial daycare system is the middle class and upper class more readily accesses the system than those who are struggling under low income. So it's a little bit rich, I think. They just don't. I don't think they appreciate the essence of the policy. They prefer a large state funded program, and in that sense, they want the government to have that revenue so that they can in turn channel it into their program. These two things, the two questions of family income splitting vis-a-vis national daycare, those two issues are very much linked. So the Center for Policy Alternatives is in favor of national daycare, and as a result, they need the government to have more revenue, not less.
Whereas your organization.
Oh, I've been loud and clear on the issue.
I know you have, Andrea. I know you have. But your organization, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, you would argue that, look, let's give families a tax break so they wouldn't have to pay for outside daycare so that what? The mom could stay at home and take care of kids.
I think it allows for greater choice. And when you're looking at who's going to spend money better, the government or families, I'm going to choose families every time.
What about means testing it? What about some guy's a millionaire? Why should he be able to lay off $50,000 of his income to his wife who's staying at home?
Yeah,
maybe you could bring in a means test on it.
Absolutely, yeah. And there could be that, means testing and an upper income limit, that kind of thing. I definitely, that's all up for discussion. But on the basic level of the idea of what it means, I think families are already doing it to a certain extent, and it makes sense as a result that they should be working their budget out as a family and taxed as a family too. And certainly, yes, let's have that discussion around not allowing the millionaire. I mean, that's going to be looking a very, very small percentage of the Canadian population. What we want is something that benefits the vast majority of middle-class, hardworking families, and
right.
I think that income splitting is that type of policy.
Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. Thank you, Andrew. We'll take a break. Come back. Let's get phone calls going on this.